Blog Talk Radio.
San Diego is playing right now as the Chargers
again, trying to salvage a once promising season. Remember, Chargers were 4-1 at one point. Second and 6, ball at around the 35-yard line, hand off to Matthews. He gets about a couple yards, about 2 yards. So it'll be about a third, and I would say about 3rd and 4. I would say it'd be about, yep, right on the money, 3rd and 4. Go figure. So it'll be about 3rd and 4 for the San Diego Chargers as they try to, and I don't know why they're showing the field goal. I mean, nigga, he's nowhere near field goal range right now. Why are you showing Nick Novak? I understand it's a target line. The target line is 34, but they're on their side of 34. I don't get that by the NFL, at the red zone channel. They do a great job, but a little bit early to be showing the target line for Nick Novak kicking a field goal. He certainly is not going to kick a field goal from where they're at right now. We all know that. I believe Denver somebody just took a timeout. Again, it's 3rd and 4. San Diego has the ball, about 6:48 left in overtime. This could easily end up a tie. The way these offenses have been playing, it's not exactly been Green Bay versus New England here, as both offenses have struggled to move the ball. Ryan Matthews had a good day, 20 carries, 120 yards. Again, Tebow's been okay, no picks, 144 yards passing, 53 yards rushing. And Rivers has been okay. He hasn't thrown a pick, so if you're a San Diego fan, that's a good thing. That's a good thing if you root for the Chargers and root for one Phillip Rivers. I'll give you a couple of scores that I probably won't go over that took place earlier in the day. Arizona 23, St. Louis 20. Redskins again. Let me get to this third down play before I continue on with the scores. 3rd and 4. San Diego has the ball. Rivers in the shotgun, and he completes the pass. First down. First down to Antonio Gates. Gates has really played well since he came back from that injury, a few weeks back. He really has a touchdown in this game. So San Diego continues to drive as they try to, again, stop the bleeding and stop their 5-game losing streak. First down, San Diego. The ball is at about the as Gates has 6 catches for 49 yards and a touchdown. About the San Diego 42. Give to Matthews. Pretty good game. About 4 yards. So it should be about 2nd and 6 when they get the ball back. This could be the last possession. The way they're milking this clock, under 6 minutes now. If San Diego plays his cards right, even if they don't score 2nd and 7, so you only gain 3 yards on that pickup. 347-215-6180. We are here on this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Program. Your host, Cyril Quinn. You can always follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn or check out my website, CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Looks like it's an offside by Denver, so it's really a free play and an incomplete pass by Rivers, so it won't matter. But looked like Denver was offside on that 2nd and 7. Rivers has got to go down the field on that play. I mean, you got a free play here. Go down the field. 2nd and 2 now. It will be big penalty for Denver. Just Bias. I believe it was the rookie sensation, Von Miller, being offside, and he cleared as they show a replay here. Yep, he was offside by a mile. I mean, it's not even close, but if you're Phillip Rivers, I mean, listen, take a shot down the field. 38 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. Denver and San Diego are in overtime, 5:26 left, 2nd and 2. Big run for Matthews. It's not going to be the game. I mean, slow down here. But he does get the first down, and certainly is not. Now we can start talking about Nick Novak and his field goal range. They are inside the Denver 35. Big run for Ryan Matthews, who went healthy and really played well this year. They are at about Denver 35. Big run. Picked up at least about 10 yards on the run. Again, 1st and 10 at the Denver 35-yard line. Certainly nothing is automatic the way San Diego can self-destruct here. So if you're a Denver fan, you still have to feel pretty good about your chances. I mean, San Diego is 2nd-8. That's Ryan Matthews had another run. Matthews is having a huge day, over 136 yards rushing. As they've, you know, not taking the ball out of Philip Rivers' hands, but really, you know, giving Ryan Matthews a share of the carries here, over about 22 carries for 136 yards. As Tim Tebow could just sit there and just hope that he gets another shot back chance at trying to win the game. Another handoff to Matthews. It's a smart play, and they go a couple yards to Tolbert. So it'll be about 3rd-6. I want to say about 3rd-6. Now San Diego's playing this smart here because, even if you don't make the field goal, you're at least taking time off the clock to where, you know, Denver is not a big play offense. I mean, let's be honest. They are not a big play offense. They have to go take methodical drives. So, now it is 3rd-6, and they run the ball. Terrible play call by Mark. That is an awful play call. I mean, that's terrible. You just going to concede to a 50-yard field goal? Are you kidding me? Nick Novak is automatic from 50 and beyond. They lose 4 yards on the play. That's just an awful call. You have a good tight end. You have pass catchers in Tolbert and Ryan Matthews out the backfield. Throw the football. I mean, that's why Noah Turner needs to be fired. I mean, that is an awful, awful call. You lose 4 yards, and now you're setting up for 4th-10. Now you're setting up for about a 53-yard field goal. That's automatic? That's automatic. I mean, that was an awful call. Norv, have some balls and throw the damn football. I wonder if Denver will call a timeout here. Did they call a timeout? Oh, the field goal was blocked. But Denver called a timeout, so it doesn't matter. Denver called a timeout. It's what these coaches do, you know. See, many a times where guys either miss the field goal, but they call a timeout, so he will have another chance at a 53-yard field goal. But I want to get back to that call. 3rd-6, you have Phillip Rivers. That tells you what confidence or lack thereof that Norv Turner has in Phillip Rivers right now. 3rd-6, and you throw, and you don't even throw a short pass to get some extra yards. I can see you not going down the field. But you gotta throw a check down. You can throw a 3 or 4 yard check down. That field goal was blocked, by the way. Again, Nick Novak has been very good for San Diego, but 53 yards is a far distance for any kicker. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Janikowski. So here we go here. 2:36 left in overtime. 53 yards. It is up. It is no good. No good. The kick is no good. Denver still has life. I told you this is what San Diego does. You can never trust San Diego. Now Denver will get pretty good field position with about 2:31 left. That was an awful call by Norv Turner. It's classic Norv Turner. Yeah, that kick really didn't have a chance. I mean, it just didn't have a distance. 43 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show, as we look at the kick again, it had the distance. Just went wide left. It looked like it was wide right. Norv Turner, listen, you can't. I mean, you try to run the ball, you lose 4 yards. There you go. I mean, 49, the big difference between 49 and 53 when it comes to kicking. Tiso Tebow gets another shot. Denver has the ball at their own about 41-yard line. Tebow drops back. It looks like he's going deep. Incomplete pass to, I want to say, Lance Ball. Who's that? Noshawn Moreno? Is that Moreno? 37, I believe that's an incomplete pass, by the way. Let me just get that corrected. As NFL Red Zone shows, when was the last tie? November 16th, 2008, Philadelphia at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, that's the game where, you know, Donovan McNabb didn't understand the rules or about ties and what have you. So that sticks out when you talk about that game. Tebow now 9 of 18 for 143, 2nd-10 at about the 42-yard line of Denver. They run the ball. No, read option. Tebow fakes. And Tebow's going to pick up a first down. Wow, he paid for it, too. Eric got leveled. But regardless of that, he picks up about 12 yards, first down, and they should be on the other side of the other side of San Diego territory right now. Good play call. San Diego did not look like, and, ooh, how close was that? Clean hit. Nope, clean hit. So it should not have been no penalty. Should not have been a penalty. So that good no call by the ref. Oh, look at that again. No, clean hit. Hey, he's a runner. He's a runner at this point. Good no call. He was inbounds anyway, so that was a good no call. Tebow has 20 carries for 65 yards. They are at about the San Diego 45-yard line. Tebow runs again for about 2 yards. Now, keep in mind, Prater is an excellent kicker. So his range, I have more confidence in Prater than I would certainly Nick Novak. His career long is 59 yards against the New York Jets last year. I would venture to say that game probably was in Denver, if I were guessing. Second and 6, Tebow gets 4 yards on that run. Again, this would be a huge win for the Denver Broncos. San Diego would be done for the season as they would fall to 4-7 on the season. Denver trying to stay in not only the division hunt, but trying to stay in the wild card hunt as well. As the wild card hunt in the AFC is jam-packed now with the Jets, Titans at 6-5. It's going to be a race not only for the wild card, but also for the home field advantage. I mean, you had New England, Houston, and Baltimore all at 8-3. Raiders are just a game behind those particular teams at 7-4. The Steelers will play Kansas City tonight, of course, on Sunday Night Football and on NBC. So as they try to keep up with the leaders in the AFC, NFC, they show a playoff picture as well. Detroit still in the hunt. Chicago, Chicago fell to 7-4. You have Chicago and Atlanta both at 7-4. Giants in a basically not a must win. Giants need to win that game against New Orleans tomorrow night, as they are at 6-4 as well. Second and 6, Denver has the ball at around the San Diego 40-yard line. This is the NFL wrap-up show. We are following this overtime. They're on the San Diego, I would say, 42-yard line, second and 6. Denver trying to keep pace with the Oakland Raiders as we look at this next play. Tebow's in shotgun, hands off to McGahey. McGahey, big run out, McGahey. McGahey could be gone. Oh, stopped at the, wow, good, great run by McGahey. Stopped at the San Diego 15-yard line. Now, you start wondering about, listen, Prater's a great kicker. I would run probably maybe one more play, and then I would kick it. Because you're well within, big run from McGahey, by the way. You are well within Prater's range. As I believe McGahey has gone over 100 yards rushing. I wish they showed the graphic here. And McGahey's at 23 for 117, having an excellent season. And they're going to, they're going to kick this right now. As Tebow just, took a dive basically to center the ball for Prater. So here we go. That it should be around, I would say, about 35, 36 yards, which nothing is a chip shot in the NFL, but, it's certainly well within his range. Second and 12. Prater, 2-for-2 on the day. Already made a 24 and a 41-yarder. Two teams have been, far as I'm concerned, have been eliminated today. Teams that have Super Bowl aspirations in terms of Philadelphia Eagles and now 37-yard attempt. And now it's looking like it's going to be the San Diego Chargers. 33 seconds left in overtime. So this is it. I mean, if he misses this, we will have a tie. As you wait for San Diego to call a timeout. 49 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour, we are going to get to the rest of the day's scores. If we have to go over, then so be it. We might end up going even an hour in this program, for this particular program, so that's fine as well. But we are going to go over all the scores on this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. But again, very rare that we get an overtime game to kick off the program, so certainly had to take advantage of bringing you the action, play-by-play action of this particular overtime. But we are going to go over the rest of the scores. As I show Tebow kneeling, Here we go. Waiting for Turner to call a timeout. Did he call a timeout? Did he? I guess not. Kick is good. Kick is good. North Turner, well, maybe he had called a timeout previously. That's it. Denver wins 16-13. They go to 6-5 on the season. Tebow improves to 5-1 as a starter. San Diego is finished. As far as I'm concerned, they're done. Stick a fork in them now. Denver, 6-5. They are now just a game behind the San Diego Chargers for the Western Division lead. And, you know, more than likely, the way to get to the playoffs for Denver is going to be by winning the division. And they still have a chance at a wild card. At a wild card at 6-5. They're right there in Tennessee, right there with the Jets. But more than likely, I would say that they're going to probably more than likely have to win the division. And that caps off week number 12, or at least for this. That caps off the 4 o'clock window of games as the Denver Broncos win 17-16-13. When we return, we will get into some scores. And the end of the Philadelphia Eagles season, we'll be right back on this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show.
Since that Pittsburgh loss,
beating the Jets. They're now 8-3 on the season. They're getting good balance from the offense. Gronkowski has another touchdown catch on the season. I believe his 11th on the season. Philadelphia is finished with the season. Who knows what happens from here on out in terms of the future of Andy Reid. It might just be time for them to move on. And, you know, sometimes he's been there, this will be his 13th year. Sometimes a change of voice is in order. And, again, I think Andy Reid is legitimately one of the top five, top dozen coaches in the league. But 13 years is a long time in the NFL, in any sport. So it could just be a change, could be in order in the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia falls 38 to 20 at home against New England. Philadelphia has been awful at home this year. I mean, they have just been flat out brutal at home over the course of this season. Atlanta over Minnesota 24-14. Falcons improved 7-4 on the season. Minnesota falls to 2-9. Typical Falcon game, and where a game that probably should have been as hard as it was, considering that the Falcons are playing, considering that the Vikings are playing number one with a rookie quarterback and number two without their best player by far in Adrian Peterson. Yet this was 17-14 in the fourth quarter. Good day, big day out Percy Harvin, 8 catches, 95 yards, a touchdown. Matt Ryan had a great day, 27-34, 262, 3 touchdowns. Roddy White also played well, had 10 carries for 120 yards and a touchdown as well. Cincinnati gets a good win, a much-needed win, 23-20 over Cleveland. They improved to 7-4 in the season. Andy Dalton, 21-31, 270 and a touchdown. Cedric Benson, 21 carries, 106 yards and a touchdown. Colt McCoy was just awful. Though he had two touchdowns and one interception, but 16-34, 151. Questions about the future of the quarterback in with the Cleveland Browns should be talked about, because I don't see Colt McCoy as that guy. But again, after back-to-back losses to Pittsburgh and Baltimore, Cincinnati gets a much, much needed win over Cleveland, and I believe Cincinnati has Pittsburgh next week. I believe Cincinnati is at Pittsburgh next week, if I'm not mistaken. So that'll be a big time game down there in Heinz Field. Tennessee over Tampa Bay, 23-17. They improved 6-5 on the season. Chris Johnson sighting, 23 carries, 190 yards on the day. Did have a fumble, but still 190 yards. The Chris Johnson that we've been accustomed to seeing over the past couple of years. You know, is Tennessee like the worst 6-5 team ever? I mean, I would have to look at the standings to actually know what their record is, but they are not a very good team. I mean, they're just not. How they're 6-5 is just amazing to me, but they're right in the thick of that playoff hunt in the AFC. They defeat Tampa Bay 23-17. Tampa Bay, who had a big year last year with 10 victories, has clearly taken a step backwards as they fall to 4-7 on the season. When we return, we'll talk Cam Newton and elimination game at the Meadowlands. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. Thank you. We just hit the top of the hour, 8 o'clock, as we discuss the latest edition. This is the latest edition of the NFL Wrap Up Show, Week 12. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you probably for the next 15 minutes, or maybe even longer, as we discuss in Week 12 of the NFL season. Chicago falls to Oakland, 25-20, in a game that basically was dominated by the kickers. Chicago falls to 7-4 on the season, snapping their five-game winning streak. Oakland improves to 7-4 on the season, playing well right now. Carson Palmer, 20-36, 297 yards, had one interception, no touchdowns. But the story of this game was, to me, Sebastian Jankowski, 6-6 field goals. This guy is just as a weapon among, is a weapon. He's just a weapon by himself. Michael Bush had a touchdown, 22 carries, 68 yards. Oakland held off a late rally by Chicago. Caleb Haney just didn't get the job done. 254 yards passing, but had three interceptions on the day. Did have two touchdowns, but three interceptions on the day. I'm finding it curious, you know, when you look at the box score and you see Matt Forte only gets 12 carries. He has 12 carries, 59 yards. And you have Marion Barber had 10 carries for 63 yards. I don't know. I thought Matt Forte was kind of the guy there. I don't know why he's basically sharing carries with Marion Barber all of a sudden. I mean, is he worn down? And you look at Forte's numbers over the past three games have not been good. They haven't. So I don't understand. I didn't think that they were using him. Maybe he's wearing down a little bit. That'd be a very interesting question to ask Lovie Smith, because you've seen more and more Marion Barber over the course of the past couple of weeks, and less of Matt Forte. To me, I believe Matt Forte, unless you're getting blown out of the building, should get minimum 20 carries every game. So, I mean, 12 carries. I mean, not like he had 12 carries for 20 yards. He had 12 carries for 59 yards. Especially in a game where you're missing your starting quarterback. But with that said, big win for the Oakland Raiders as they remain in first place in the AFC West. They are at 7-4. At 7-4, they will have the asset test next week. Well, or a week after. I shouldn't say that. Week after. They have the Packers in a couple weeks. I would love to see who they're playing next week. But they still have a couple division games left, and they are right now, to me, in control of that AFC Western division. And I think they have, on paper, the best talent out of anybody in that division. Bears just trying to hold on and get to the playoffs until if and when Jay Cutler gets back. You know, their schedule is not hard. Detroit's schedule is brutal, so that's going to help the Bears. Also, they have a win over Atlanta, which helps them out. So, you know, I think the Bears are pretty. I think the Bears are in pretty decent shape to make a run at the playoffs, despite missing Jay Cutler. The Jets over Buffalo, 28-24, and I thought it was an elimination game. Jets improved to 6-5. Buffalo falls to 5-6. Mark Sanchez, four touchdowns, a pick, 17-35 for 180. He had a couple of those touchdown passes went to Dustin Keller. Ryan Fitzpatrick breaking out of a 3 or 4 week slump, had a good game, 26-39 for 264, three touchdowns. Stevie Johnson had some hero, but mostly GOAT in this game. First of all, he outplayed Darrelle Revis. I mean, he was beating Darrelle Revis like a drum, had a touchdown, eight catches, 75 yards. But, you know, after his touchdown, he imitates Plaxico Burress, who this is the third anniversary of Plaxico Burress getting shot at a New York nightclub and going to jail for a couple of years. He imitates Plaxico Burress getting shot, just tasteless. He did apologize after the game, but it was just stupid. Gave the Jets, you know, of course, was a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that aided the Jets. T. that aided the Jets in scoring a touchdown on their following drive. Again, Jets had to have this game, and he also, more importantly, dropped a couple of passes late in the game, including one that would have been a short enough touchdown and would have given Buffalo the win. Jets do what they have to do. Not overly impressive in the game. I haven't been impressed with the Jets for a long while now, to be honest with you. I think that New England game basically not sealed their fate, but knocked some of the air out of them. But they're still in the mix to possibly make a run at the playoffs, though. I just don't like the Jets right now. It's too much Sanchez. I mean, they're counting on Sanchez way too much. You heard earlier in the week, Mark Brunell taking reps with the first team. I mean, like, whatever that's supposed to mean. But they do get the win over Buffalo, 28-24. Carolina over Indianapolis in a game that meant basically that means nothing. Indianapolis basically is going to get Andrew Luck. Now it's going to be get the number one pick. Now what they do with it, who knows? That's going to be speculation, and it's basically until April. They fall to Indianapolis. They fall to Carolina, 27-19. Cam Newton, good day for him, 27-20, 208 yards passing. He also had 9 carries for 53 yards and a touchdown. D'Angelo Williams had a big day, 15 carries, 69 yards, and two touchdown runs. Chris Gamble sealed the game with a pick on the last drive when Indianapolis was going in for a potential game tying with the 2-point conversion, game tying score. So Indianapolis is 0-11. They could lose. They could easily be 0-16. I mean, easily could be 0-16. And again, it's gonna be very interesting what they do with that number one pick, which they surely are going to have. And of course, we started out the show Washington over Seattle, 23-17. Both teams are at 4-7. Rex Grossman had a typical Rex day, 26-35, 314 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He did have a game clinching 50-yard touchdown pass to Anthony Armstrong that basically not sealed the deal but put the Redskins ahead for good. The Redskins, of course, in typical Redskin fashion, get the extra point blocked, which put them in a position to where Seattle still had a chance even after a made field goal at 23-17. But D'Angelo Hall gets a late interception to seal the game. Redskins snapped their 6-game losing streak, improved to 4-7 on the season, and right there in the basement with the Philadelphia Eagles, who are also at 4-7 as well. When we return, we will talk about the playoff. We'll talk more about the playoff races, and also again we will talk about the demise and what has happened with the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll be right back on this last edition of the NFL wrap up show. minutes after 8 o'clock hour, this latest edition of the NFL wrap-up show. Pittsburgh-Kansas City, strong night game. I mean, I understand Kansas City made the playoffs last year, but, I mean, really, did you anticipate them being that good this year? I mean, I can see that that was a Monday night game, but to me, they got a mismatch. I mean, Kansas City, the Giants and the Saints should be the Sunday night game, and Kansas City, Pittsburgh should be the Monday night game, as far as I'm concerned. Pittsburgh, I understand it's Pittsburgh, but Kansas City don't like that matchup for Sunday night football. I mean, this is unless you're a Pittsburgh fan, this would be the one night that you Sunday night you can be basically do something else. To be honest with you, that is not an appealing matchup by any stretch of the imagination. We start off the top of the show with San Diego and Denver. Denver defeating San Diego 16-13. Matt Prater, 37-yard field goal to win the game. San Diego is basically, as far as I'm concerned, is done. They is done as far as any playoff hopes are concerned. They've had an awful season. Rivers has been terrible. Lord Turner and A.J. Smith both should be fired, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they have done nothing but waste talent in that on that Charger team. I understand that maybe this year the Chargers are not as talented as they have been in the past, but still, I mean, you still have some good players there. They still should be much better in that division than 4-7. I mean, that's all there is to it. The other big disappointment of the season has been the Philadelphia Eagles. They fall to the New England Patriots. Now, Patriots are playing well, so I did not expect the Eagles to win this game. But, you know, to get just totally demolished by the Patriots, 38-13, Tom Brady just did whatever he wanted to do. He was running a clinic. You know, the first couple of series, they were hitting them, getting pressure on them. But after that, the Philadelphia Eagle pass rush just, you know, went away. Again, Bill Belichick baited Andy Reid into allowing Vince Young to thinking that Vince Young could beat them, which was not going to happen. So hopefully enough talk about Vince Young now coming off that performance against the Giants, where I didn't think he was that good to begin with. So they fall to the Patriots 38-20. Houston over Jacksonville 20-10. Houston, you know, continues to play great defense, but again, they just can't keep quarterbacks healthy. They lose Matt Leinart with a broken collarbone. He's probably going to be done. I would say he's going to be probably done for the season. Leinart was playing pretty well, to be honest with you. Arian Foster did not, you know, had just 66, about 65 yards rushing. Did have a touchdown, but he was relatively quiet. But the story has been the Houston defense. That's been the story for them. And right there, defense now, they have this T.J. Yates from North Carolina. I don't know what to expect out of him. It's really a shame for Houston, because I thought that Houston could possibly be headed towards making a Super Bowl run. And then he falls in, which is still a wide-open NFC. But they do get the win 20-13 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. They improve. Houston improves to 8-3. Who's 8-3 on the season, and right in the thick of that race for best record in the AFC. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. We will see you next week with the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. Have a great weekend. So long.